looking forward to that. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and when you find that, stand with me, we'll read our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's right after the book of Acts in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1, or Romans. I said Acts, I meant Romans. Okay, 1:10. There, say amen. All right, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beside, I know not whether I baptize any other. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Father, I pray your blessings on the message today. God, we desperately need you and need to hear from you. So we pray for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. The church had been experiencing divisions, and Paul desired to provide a kind of unity that would have brought them back together by dealing with the issue of the divisions in the church. It says, I don't know why I'm having trouble with my mic here, so give me a second. I'm going to just take my jacket off. They will not stay on. It says, no, I want to go to Brother Chad's head. I don't know. That was weird. Okay. Verse 10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There would be no divisions among you. So he's referencing the divisions, and what he's desiring is to see a kind of unity brought back together. In fact, he says that there be no divisions among you. That phrase, it's if you were to define it, it would, from the Greek language that is, it would be a sort of restoration. Like if somebody had a broken bone and you needed to restore or reset the bone, that's what the phrase there be no divisions among you would mean. So there's a brokenness, and Paul desired that through Christ there would be a restoration, the bone being set back. I remember when my brother threw a Nerf ball at my face, and I was maybe 12 years old, and he would have been 11 or 10. And we were maybe 10, 7 feet away from each other, and he threw it, and I wasn't ready, and it hit me in the face. Now it's a Nerf ball. It didn't really hurt, but it just hurt my pride. So I chased him around the yard until I finally caught him and tackled him. And when I tackled him, it was full force, and his shoulder dug into the ground, and it broke his collarbone. And I remember that, like, for a fraction of a second, I felt kind of bad. And I really felt bad. And he had, they had to take him to the ER, and he had to wear a sling, and so I felt guilty about that. That's the idea. The church had been fractured. There had been divisions. And the divisions weren't just like a small thing. There was a division in personalities in the church. There was a division in the church that was based on the emotions of those that were members of the church and the leadership of the church. There had been people who had been a part of the process of the development of the church. Maybe there had been one pastor who was the originating pastor, the one who started the church in Corinth, and that would have been Paul. And so in verse 12, I believe it's verse 12, it talks about the specifics of the division. Every one of you saith, and then here's the divisions. Some they're saying, I'm of Paul, and others of Apollos, Cephas, and then of Christ. Now, the idea here is that there are those in the church who are sectioning themselves off based on the personalities of those that they either gravitated to, or those that they appreciated, or those that they had a sentimentality connection to. And there's a variety of emotional reasons why someone would associate themselves to a particular division. For example, Paul, the originating pastor, someone might in the church say, well, Paul's my pastor, you know, because he's the one who started the church, or he won me to the Lord, or something like that. So I need some kiddos to help me out. Who's some kiddos that would be willing to help me out? Now, not everybody needs to raise your hand at one time. Okay, Robbie, let's start with you. Come on up here. So Robbie, you're going to be right here, stand right here. You're going to represent the Paul group. Paul group would be the one who started the church. So just face everybody. So this is the Apostle Paul. Everybody say hi. Hi, Apostle Paul. It's good to meet everybody. Amen. So the Apostle Paul. Now this is the vote of unity form that we're going to be giving to everybody as I throw on the ground. It says, I agree, name, optional. You don't have to put your name on it. Put it on there, though, if you vote no, because then we can track you down. No, just team. Okay, so it says, I agree to call Brother Chad Berry as the pastor of Valley Avenue Baptist Church effective January 8th, 2023. And then there's yes or no. I mean, it's kind of simple, right? There's notes section, so if you have anything you'd like to say, just write it on there. Try to put positive things, encouraging things, you know. So this is going to be the Apostle Paul, the one who started the church. So I want you to take your little segregation and go over there. You just stand over there. Just stand over there and don't do goofy things, but just look cute like you always do. Okay. So that's the first group. The second group would have been the second pastor of the church, the guy who came in behind the guy. And this would have been Apollos. Now, who's going to be my Apollos? Tate, you want to be the Apollos? Come on up here. All right, Tate. You go over there. Because these guys are enemies. No, they're not. No, actually, they did care for each other. They weren't the same. You know what's interesting is Apollos was more intellectual than Paul, which is kind of crazy to say in a sense, because in my mind, Paul strikes me as the most intellectual writer in the scriptures. But the Bible speaks specifically about Apollos being an eloquent speaker. And so you have already in the church, you have schisms based on personalities. The man who started the church and the man who followed him, that's Apollos. But then there were two other divisions. There was a group that were of Cephas. Now, does anybody know, this is the second name that we know of to this person. He has a different name. It's the same guy, but he has two names. What's his other name that we commonly would know Cephas as? Anybody? Zachary, who is it? Peter! Good job, Zachary. Why don't you come on up? You can be Peter. That's what you get. Okay. This is the Cephas group. Why don't you stand right here? Okay, so already we have three divisions in the church, don't we? We have those that associate and say, well, this is my pastor. He's the one who started the church, and I just like him better. And then you have the other group. Now, this is all one church. These segregations are in the same congregation. Okay, so it's not like we're talking about four separate churches. We're talking about people in the same church. Currently, the pastor is Apollos, but there are people who are under the ministry of Apollos who are saying, well, he's not my pastor. He'll never be my pastor because that's my pastor. And then you over here, you have the Apollos group and say, well, I liked him better all the time anyways, you know, because he's a way better preacher. And then, you know, maybe there's that attitude about Apollos. But then you have those that are sort of sectioned off to the Peter group. And you might wonder, well, what is that all about? He's not even a part of the church. No, but you know what's interesting about Corinth is it's a major metropolitan area. It means big city, lots of people. And remember the apostles, whenever they spread out and they were preaching the gospel, there is just a tremendous chance that one of two things, or maybe both, happened. That one, that Paul traveling, or rather Peter, Paul's over there, Peter in his travels as an apostle, affirming and confirming churches, would have made his way to the Corinthian church at some point and would have preached the word. And while he's there, maybe, you know how we have revival preachers come through? And a revival preacher comes through and say, man, I sure wish he was our pastor. I'm not saying that that happens, but I'm just saying that there might be that spirit that somebody says, you know, we had this revival preacher, and I actually got saved when that revival preacher was here. And so he is the one that I like. And I watch all his YouTube sermons too. Now, I'm not sure they did that in Bible times, but I mean, there was that kind of affinity towards Peter. And he was a traveling potential as an apostle, a traveling preacher. He would have maybe made his way through Corinth, and there would have been a group. Clearly, it's in the Bible. There was a group of people in the church who said, Peter is our guy. And we're the Peter group. Now, another thing about Peter is that, again, he had a broad ministry. Even if he didn't make his way through Corinth, there is a good chance that Peter specifically would have maybe won somebody to the Lord who they moved to Corinth. As a major metropolitan area, a lot of people are coming into the city. And there would have been people who says, they're moving into a city, what's the first thing you should do when you move into a city? First thing, find you a church. Like, well, you know, I need to find a house or a job. No. First thing, where are you going to go to church? Well, there would have been those in the group who are moving to Corinth, got saved under Peter's ministry, and now they're members of the church. So they say, that's our group. Now the last one. Who's going to be our Christ? Lauren, come on up here. This is our last group. We are a Christ group. Stand right here. Thank you. And she is a sweet girl just like Christ would be. Amen? You're like, Tate's like, yeah, right. You don't know. Anyway. So, and no, I don't know, and I don't want to know. Amen. Be sweet in my book. So the Christ group, you might think, well, that's the what we should all be, right? Well, it is true that we should all be under the umbrella of Christ as the authority of the church. Amen. But this was a sort of piety that they had, that we don't need a pastor because we got Jesus. Consider that for a minute. This is a group of people that are members of the church who say, well, I'm going to be here because I need the word, but I don't really have a pastor. Well, that still happens today, doesn't it? Yeah, and that's a dangerous thing. And this isn't a good... So the group, the idea that Jesus is the head of the church is biblical and it's right. But to say that all I need is Jesus and I don't need a pastor, that's not biblical and that's pious. It's actually not right at all. So here's what is happening in the church. I mean, I think you can clearly see it, right? So there is a group who are in the same church, and this is the divisions that's being reported back to Paul by the one named Chloe or those of her house. And this is what Paul's hearing about is happening in the church. There are these schisms. You have those that are the Paul group, and then you have those that are the Peter group, and then those that are the Christ group, and then those that are the Apollos group. And this division in the church is causing a kind of unsettled disunity. It's causing big problems. Why? Because when you don't have unity in a church, then what you have, maybe this will be good. Come over here. Tate, come right here. Now, you two don't fuss with each other at home, do you? Ever. Maybe. See, she's being honest with us. There's a little bit of a fuss. Whenever you have divisions in a church like this, just like you have at home sometimes, different points of view and opinions about things, then sometimes there's an argument that goes on between each other. Whenever you have people that are arguing between each other or a group of people that are arguing between each other about the direction of the church, the leadership of the church, what's right or what's not right, and all of those things, then what you can't do because you're focused on fussing with each other is turn and face this way. Come on over here, you guys. Stand shoulder to shoulder. There we go. Whenever you're fighting with each other, you can't focus on what needs to be focused on. And that is the world out there that needs the gospel. You're fighting with each other and you can't focus on the gospel. Let me see your papers here. So what Paul says needs to happen, is what needs to be reestablished, is unity in the church, so that we're all together desiring to go the same direction, to accomplish the same mission. Did you know what Paul says next? Paul, stay. Which one of you is Paul? You could give them a hand. They did great. Y'all go sit. You stay up there. Why don't you be right in the middle right there. Paul said, you know, I'm glad that there's not very many that I baptized. Stand up on the step here without tripping. There we go. Paul says, I'm glad that I didn't baptize very many. Now, here's what he's not saying. He's not saying that baptism isn't important. But what he's saying is, what matters isn't that I have created or built this kind of following, Paul's saying. What matters is that Christ is magnified. Okay? Now, I want to read the verse. Stay there, Paul. We're in chapter 1. So verse 12 said, you know, we have Paul and we have Apollos and Cephas, that's Peter, and then the Christ group. But then verse 13, Paul said this, is Christ divided? What's the answer to that question? No. Then he said this, was Paul crucified for you? The answer to that question is no. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The answer is no. So here's what Paul is pointing out. What Paul is pointing out is what doesn't matter is how popular I am in this movement. Paul says I don't matter in this movement. Paul says it's not about me. I didn't die for the lost. People who were baptized in Paul's ministry, they weren't baptized in the name of Paul. I baptize you in the name of the Apostle Paul. Buried? No, that's not what we say. That's not how the ministry is at all. And Paul is acknowledging that. Then he says what really matters. And this shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So Paul says, he affirms, this ministry is not about me. As a matter of fact, this ministry isn't about Apollos. And this ministry isn't about Cephas. And this ministry isn't even about a group of people who say, well, we don't even need a pastor. Mm-mm. This ministry is about the message.
Amen.
The gospel. Paul said, what we cannot do is allow divisions in the church to hinder why we're here. Get the gospel to the lost. Go ahead and raise your hand. No, let me finish my question. Raise your hand if you have a family member or a neighbor or a friend in Falls City who needs to be saved. Raise your hand. Okay, you can put your hands down. Where are they going to go to hear the gospel to be saved? Right here. How are they going to get here? How are they going to get here? The best chance they have is you.
Yes, sir.
So if we're divided as a church, based on schisms of popularity and preference and who we do and don't like, then all that will do is hinder what God desires to continue to do in Fall City.
Yes,
fill this church up with the lost.
Amen.
That they might get saved. Thank you, Robbie. Give him a hand. He did great. So here's what I want to encourage you with this morning as we finish up. I told you it was going to be short. We got business to attend to. That this isn't what we have when we pass these forms out. That we don't have this. But that we have unity. I'm going to give a short testimony and then I'm going to have